And so we want to turn to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, and then we want to read one verse in the book of Philippians. Exodus chapter 16, and you know, when you start thinking about the past, and while you're turning to Exodus, I'll just make mention that, you know, a lot of the people that were there, Darla and I were actually talking about it yesterday. A lot of the people that were there and that doing different things in our church, a lot of them were 35 years ago were younger than what we are right now. And so it's pretty sobering when you stop and think of it that way. But anyway, Exodus chapter 16, beginning with verse 14. The Bible says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoar frost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given us to eat.'" And verse 16 goes on to say, "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, they had gathered much, had nothing over, and had gathered little, had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until morning, and the bread of worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And then I want us to turn in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and we thank you for the good day that you've blessed us with. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here this evening. We pray for those that are on our prayer list and those that are still healing from surgeries. And Lord, we just pray for our church family. And Lord, we do pray that you'll help us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll open our eyes, open our ears, and open our heart to what you have for us. Lord, we do earnestly pray if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, Lord, will you speak to that heart and cause them to realize the only hope is in Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the blessings, and we thank you for all that you do, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've titled the message this evening, Day by Day. Day by Day. We read to you the passage in Philippians 13. And the writer is telling this group of people, and he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." I believe it was last Sunday that I mentioned a book that I'm reading, as time allows. And I mentioned that it was won by Vance Havner. And it's just kind of daily meditations and just some thoughts that he has. And the book is called Lord of What's Left. And that's really kind of stuck with me because there's a realization as we get older, there's a realization that the, you know, when you're young, you think of all the things that are, that you're having plans for. You plan this and you plan that and you have all these ideas and you have all these things and it's not that you don't have those things when you get older, but it's more, I guess you would say it's more precise. It's more precise as you get older because in reality, we're everyone older than we were this morning when we were here. And we're older than when we first came in. And so we realize that time is coming to a close for each one of us. Even when a child is born, even when a child is born and a birth is there, then every day that goes by is just a little closer. It's a little closer. Darla and I, we were actually talking about they're having a high school reunion, and it's hard to believe that we've been out of school 40 years. And I remember people would tell me, that you're going to miss those days when you get out of school. They would say you're going to miss those days and there's a lot of things that you're going to miss. Well, I don't necessarily miss the school part. I just miss the energy that I had. I miss the that it seemed like you could go on just a few hours sleep and you was okay. And now it's you move around a little slower. And so, but time is quickly passing by. When we go backwards in our minds, we can consider our past. We can think about some things, just like I was reminiscing about 35 years ago. I brought my first message here. It wasn't the first time I ever preached, but it was the first time I ever preached here. And you can go back to those moments and you can think to yourself, wow. 35 years, that's a long time. As the old saying goes, there's a lot of water under the bridge since then. A lot of trials, a lot of testing, a lot of things that took place. But you know, we can't go back physically. We can't go back to those moments. We can't go back physically to those things. And truly, if you really stop and think about it, what we have is today. We have a promise of tomorrow, and that's eternity in heaven, we that are saved. But we're not promised to be here tomorrow. We can't go back to our past because we've already lived the past. But what we have is we have today. We have today. You know, I understand more and more when I was growing up and I would say something like, I can't wait till this or I can't wait to that. And an older person would tell me, a lot of times my mother would say, you're wishing your life away. And I didn't really have an appreciation for that until now. Not that you can wish anything. You can't wish time to go by faster, but yet the thought of, there's a lot of things that can happen in that period of time. And so I understand more about my mother saying you're wishing your life away. The time that we have now, this hour, this day, is a very small window in time when you really stop thinking about the years, the life, and even eternity. It's a very small window of time. You can't save it. You can't change it. And you can't speed it up. But it's the hour that the Lord has blessed us with. every breath that we take, every moment that we have is a gift from the Lord. We have this time, we have this moment, and you say, what does this have to do with manna? Well, it's a thought here, as we've titled this message Day by Day, and the thought here is the fact that God provided for them for that day. And that if they kept it, as I read to you just a few moments ago, if it was a Tuesday, and I'm just kind of speaking practical here, but if it was a Tuesday and you thought, I'm going to save up for tomorrow, then what was saved up would be rotten. Because the idea here is that God provides daily. God provides daily. What they had was this manna for that day. Now we understand about the Sabbath and we understand that, but I'm just kind of being practical here is the fact that we have this moment in this day and they had that day that God provided for them. But what God provided was something that was sweet. There was a sweetness in this manna. Do you realize if we look at a day correctly, there's a sweetness in the day that God provides. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, and it doesn't mean we're not going to have aches and pains. It doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles. It doesn't mean that we're not going to deal with life itself and the challenges of life. But yet knowing that you have that relationship with the Lord is a sweetness. Knowing that you have Him, and you have that relationship with Him, and you have that comfort. And as the Bible says, He sends us the Comforter. And knowing that we have that relationship with Him is a sweetness. It's something the world doesn't understand. They don't understand the sweetness that we have in the Lord. And so as I think about the manna, I think about the sweetness that God provided. For 40 years, God provided this for His people. So this evening, I would just like us to consider day by day. Day by day. How can we approach this day? How can we approach the day that God gives us? How can we approach it? And what are some thoughts here that we can apply every day? Well, the first thing I want to say is this, and it should be a challenge to all of us, and that is this. Every day, we should be willing to offer ourselves afresh and anew to the Lord. You see, the Lord provides us this day. And it's what are we going to do with the day that He provided or provides. Numbers 29 verse 6 says, beside the burnt offering of the month, and his meat offering and the daily burnt offering and his meat offering, and their drink offerings according unto their manner, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. You see, what I just read to you was where the priests were instructed to offer the Lord a daily burnt offering. And so every day we should be willing to offer ourselves afresh and anew. Because every day is a gift from the Lord. And I'm not talking about the challenges that we have, because we have challenges and we have aches and pains and we have difficulties. And, you know, and there was a girl that I know that, took the day off recently, and she had a lot of plans and, for that day. And she took the day off, and I asked her, I said, when she came back, I said, well, did you enjoy your day off? And she said, well, yeah, the first part of it. The second part of it, I didn't get to do what I had planned because I had a flat tire. And she said I had to sit on the interstate on the side of the road for almost 2 hours until somebody could come and change it. And then when I got it, when they got there to change it, she said my spare tire was flat. And so then she went on to tell me, and then she said when I finally did get everything worked out, She said, I was supposed to go see some family, and it was too late to go do that. And so she said, really, the day was a waste. But you know, I understand where that's coming from, but if it's a day that's provided by the Lord, it should never be a waste. It should never be a waste. Every day when we wake up, we should be challenged to offer ourselves to the Lord. Just like the children of Israel were instructed to eat this manna and how sweet it was, but yet there were some that tried to go around what was told, and the Bible says it stank. You know, our idea here tonight is the fact that this is the day that the Lord has offered us and given us, and so our challenge should be that we offer ourselves, no matter how old we are, no matter whether we look at our past, we still have this day. And so our challenge is this. We should ask the Lord to take possession of our heart. You know, our heart, and I'm not speaking of the physical, although it's very important, as you know, but I'm speaking of the idea here that our heart is very precious. And our heart can be changed in a moment based upon the circumstances. There are people out in the world today, and I know some of them, and some of them you do as well, that are walking around with a bitterness in their heart that they can't get over. They're angry about life. They're angry about their circumstances. They're angry about their difficulties. They're angry about things that are happening. But you know, God never said that the day would be easy. But God said for the children of the Lord, and for those that are saved, I'll be with you. You see, He'll be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So every day we should ask Him to take possession of our heart. We should also ask Him to control love. Control love. You know, it's not that hard to love the people that are in your life, like your family and your close friends. But how hard is it to love the person that just pulled out in front of you? How hard is it to love the person that gets irate in a situation and is really showing bad of themselves? How hard is it to love the one that left your biscuit out of your Bojangles drive-through order? You see what I'm saying? There's so many things that happen in life. That's a true story, by the way. I got home with we had stopped through a drive-thru and got home and I was bothered because my biscuit wasn't there. Now, the first thing that I thought of was Miss Jean Rumsey told me one time. I told her how much I love biscuits and it's one of my favorite things. And she said, well, for every biscuit you eat, it's a day off your life. And I said, well, I'm in trouble. But I wasn't happy. And so the first thing that I thought of was the fact that I started thinking about, you know, why did they do this? And I started thinking about that people don't care about their jobs and all those things. But one thing that I didn't think about is maybe that person had some very bad news. Maybe that person, had a trial in their life, and they just overlooked it. When we ask God to take our hearts and to take our love, then we need to go beyond our natural feelings and realize that God loves them as much as He does us. Loves them as much as He does us. Asking God to control our love. Asking God to fill our minds. To fill our minds. Because the world's going to fill it with something. But asking God to fill our minds and to guide our thinking. You know, we need God's guidance in our thinking every day. Because sometimes, and especially the older we get, the more thinking we do. And we need God to guide our thinking. We need God to motivate our will. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can be a stubborn people instead of just opening up our eyes and allow God to work. You know, there's some things that I wanted in my life, and there's some things that I wanted to happen, and there's some things that I felt like it should be. And when that day got all messed up and it didn't go the way that I thought, and I was disappointed, and I found out later that I'm glad it didn't work out that way because something better happened or it helped someone. You see, just simply offering ourselves to the Lord daily when we get up. You know, sometimes we have this thing to where we get up and some people will say, don't bother me until I drink my coffee. And then you have to take and I'm not making light of this, but it's just how people are, that you get up and you have to do certain things. You have to take certain pills on certain times, and you can't take some pills. You have to wait to eat. And then there's so many regulations in life. When in fact, we just need to spend time with the Lord. Spending time with Him. Motivating our will. And then direct our choosing. But I guess what I'm trying to say is we just simply every day offer ourselves to the Lord. Lord, this is the day that You've given me. How can I glorify You the most? How can I glorify You the most? And then number two, every day we should call upon the Lord in prayer. How important is prayer? I mentioned that a little bit about that this morning, but how important it is that we pray. Psalm 83 verse 3, there's a portion of that verse that says, I cry unto thee daily. Spending time in prayer. You know, those people that have gone on before us, that has helped us, pillars in our community, pillars, in our church, pillars in our life, pillars that made a difference in our life. Do you realize that the people that's helped us, the people that's inspired us, the people that's encouraged us, the people that's been example to us, that's already in heaven right now, there's no doubt they spent time in prayer. They spent time in prayer. Found out this week that one of the preachers that helped me in Burlington when I was answering the call before I ever joined Smith Grove, I was struggling with some things and having some difficulties. And there was this preacher friend, and I haven't seen him in years, but I still count him a friend. I found out that I used to go to meet with him every Wednesday because that was my day off, and I would meet with him every Wednesday. And I would drive down to his church in Burlington, and we would spend time together studying and praying and reading. And then we would go to his house for lunch every Wednesday. We did that for about 3 or 4 months as he was trying to help me. Found out this week that his dear wife had cancer and she passed away. You see, there are people that impact our lives, and there's no doubt that they spent time praying. Do you realize that we are those people now? When we start thinking about the people that's helped us in our lives, that was an impact in our lives, we are now those people that need to help others and impact other people's lives. We are those people. We need to encourage, and we need to pray. They had their quiet time. And let me tell you something about quiet time. Sometimes people think, well, it comes naturally, but with all the world has to offer and with all the things that's happening in the world, do you realize that quiet time takes sacrifice? Quiet time takes dedication. Quiet time takes priority. Quiet time takes a willingness. A willingness. Now, I understand that when we're laid up and we can't get out much, then I sometimes wonder if that doesn't come easier. But then again, I sometimes wonder, but it's just as hard. Because I used to talk to my mother, and she didn't drive, and she would sit at home all day. And I used to talk to her, and I was thinking, this is how my mind was working when I was very young. I was thinking, well, goodness, you have all the time in the Lord, world. You need to be talking to the Lord all the time. But in reality, You know, when a person sits at home, then the mind starts working. The mind starts working where they'll think that no one loves them and nobody cares for them and all those things that an individual faces. So it really doesn't matter what time in a life that we are in or what season in life that we are in. For us to spend time in prayer with the Lord does take sacrifice. It takes dedication. It takes priority. And it takes willingness. But the important thing is that we do it. Is that we do it. It will make a difference. I'm a firm believer that it'll make a difference in your life. It'll make a difference in your life. And number three, every day we need to die to self. Every day we need to die to self. You see, when those children of Israel kept that manna, they were just probably thinking, I'm going to hoard this up. And it makes it easier for us the next day, but in reality, it was rotten. Every day we should die to self. In 1 Corinthians 15:31, the Bible says, I die daily. Paul says, I die daily. Jesus gave His life for us, and He's given us an abundant life. We that are in Christ, He gives us an abundant life. We die daily to the things that control us. We should die daily to the things that control us. And there are things in life, whether we want to admit it or not, there are things in life that can control us. When we say we have to do this and we have to do that, and it controls us, we just need to be careful. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, And He said unto them, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it. So that's just a challenge that every day we need to die to self. Every day we need to die to self. Number four, every day we need to clear our minds. Clear our minds. How many of you have ever been guilty about, and you don't have to answer this, just think, how many has ever, when you start praying, then all of a sudden your mind starts wondering. It just starts wondering about different things. And then you kind of shake your head and you try to get back in focus. You see, we need to clear our minds because there's so much in our minds that can dictate how we feel. There's things in our mind that can dictate, that can control us. Philippians 4 verse 8, the Bible says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We need to clear our minds every day. And I'm just going to make this statement, and I believe that you'll agree. The world can be toxic to a mind. The world can be toxic. It can cause people to think the wrong things. It can cause people to react the wrong way. And it doesn't matter. It can come in all shapes or sizes, but it's toxic to the heart and it's toxic to the mind. Every day we need to clear our minds and think on these things. It can destroy you in many ways if we allow the world to influence. Let me tell you what the toxic mind that the world offers you can do. It can rob you of your peace. It can rob you of your joy. And it can rob you of your hope. But Jesus can restore these things because Jesus is the giver of life. Jesus is the giver of peace. And Jesus is the giver of joy. And Jesus is the giver of hope. You see, that's what we focus on. Just like the manna, they were to collect it every day. Well, we need to spend time with Him every day and offer ourselves to Him. And not let the cares of this life, we're going to have them, but not let them control us. To not let them control us. Because this toxic environment that we're in, and we struggle in many ways, if we're not careful, we can let our guard down and it can make our thoughts change. It can make our heart change. I'll give you a testimony of somebody that I know many, many years ago, and they've already passed away now, and they were so much serving the Lord. And they were serving the Lord, and it's all they were doing was serving the Lord. And what a tremendous testimony. And some didn't go right, and let's just say that life was hard on them. And they didn't, things didn't work out the way that they thought it should be with something that had taken place. And so they backslid. And they weren't praying near as much as they used to, and very seldom did you ever hear them talking about the Lord. And they were so bitter about what had taken place and how that things didn't work out. And then their values changed. Their heart changed. They started accepting things just a little better, things that they were so much against for so many years. And they were a person with no peace. And I knew them personally, and I watched them, and people started wondering what happened. What happened? And then one day, God opened their eyes, and God got a hold of their heart, and they got right with the Lord, and they were restored. God got a hold of their heart, and their life changed. Do you realize that we're everyone subject to that happening? We're everyone subject to that happening. And that's why it's so important that we day by day, because I don't know about you, but I don't want this world to rob me of my peace. I don't want it to rob me of my joy. I don't want it to rob me of my hope. Because I know my hope, my peace, and my joy is not in this world. But my hope, my peace, and my joy is found in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. This is the day that God has given each one of us. Day by day. And I ask the question in closing, will you seek Him every day? Will you make a commitment to Him every day and not let the cares of this life control you? It's easy. It's easy for that to happen. Just like the children of Israel tried to gather more than what they should have. And if we allow the world to try to control us, if we allow the world to hurt our testimony with the anger of things that's taking place and in life itself, then I'll tell you, it's going to stink. Just like the manna. We need the Lord daily, and we need Him in our life daily. He should be the Lord of what we have left. May we be committed to Him day by day. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for just allowing us this privilege to be here. And Lord, there's so many things that are discouraging. There's so many things that are difficult. There's so many things that we deal with every day. But help us to rise up above those things and help us to just commit to you daily. Lord, you love us. And we know that you love us because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. So help us, Lord, day by day to just commit ourselves to you. Amongst all the distractions, amongst all the things that we have to do in our busy lives, help us to put you first. Help us to be committed to you. And Lord, as we have this invitation, Lord, I pray that if you've spoken to hearts or if anybody needs to come here and pray, Lord, I pray that they'll do that. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.